This is a fun one, Rye Guy. The Mexico City Grand Prix.
This looks like another great race to go to. Just an absolute party.
Yeah, and it's always lined up with Dia de los Muertos.
Yep.
So you get the sugar skulls, and yeah, it's a nonstop festival. And you have a legit stadium that they drive through.
Yeah, I would say this Grand Prix and the Dutch Grand Prix, two top party Grand Prix destinations.
Yeah, the fans definitely are the stars of those Grands Prix.
Yeah, all you need to do is just watch the podium every year at the Mexican Grand Prix to know how wild it is.
This is the party podium.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. He just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony, man, vomiting. Going here, I'm vomiting. I'm going to drive.
Understood. Stop.
This is Purple Sector. Humbling Rye Guy in the mics. Time, Rye Guy, for the Purple Sector Mexico Grand Preview. I tripped over the R in Grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one. I guess now it's officially called the Mexico City Grand Prix. Some of these locations try to, I think, pump up tourism, because this one is called the Mexico City Grand Prix. The Brazilian Grand Prix is now, I think, officially the Sao Paulo Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
So some of these places try to use it. The tourism board gets their hooks into these Grand Prix titles.
Are they they're the title sponsor now, is the tourism board?
I think it was before. I'm not sure about still, but hopefully they can get their act together when it comes to a fun trophy, because this year has to have been one of the worst years. Feels like a down year for trophies, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. We're kind of in a drought here.
Yeah. I can't even remember the last time we were super stoked for a trophy.
Well, I like the Singapore trophy, even though it is a corporate trophy. It's the airlines,
right? One of the best of the branded trophies, yeah.
Yeah, it is the best. You're right. It is
the best.
You're right, by the way. It is the 2022 Mexico City Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a wise move. If you're trying to lure people somewhere as a destination, that's
the
way to do it.
Because otherwise you don't associate it with a city. You just think of a country, if it's just the Mexican or the Brazilian. But now I'm pretty sure Brazil is the Sao Paulo Grand Prix, and Mexico City is the title name for this Grand Prix.
Right.
So yeah, they get a little bonus advertisement for their city. Yeah. So first things first, we're going to hit on some news. There's some good news out there around penalties, around the cost cap infringements, the cost cap certificates that were issued. And then we'll get into the Mexican Grand Preview. But let's get into this news. So in the U.S. Grand Prix at COTA, Rye Guy, originally Alonso had finished 7th on the track, got dinged with a huge penalty, a drive-through penalty, which meant a 30-second time penalty, knocking him down to like 15th. But he appealed it, and now it has been reversed, and he is reinstated to P7.
Just more egg on the face of the FIA.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again these last few weeks.
It is crazy that they can, after a race, do their research, put together this penalty, and then it's quickly overturned by an appeal. Like, are you guys not your own checks and balances that you realize maybe this sucks, or do you just like creating work for yourself to have people have to appeal?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Some Hamilton news. Right guy, Lewis Hamilton, now out there, I think this was in the pressers at the Mexico City Grand Prix, saying how he wants a multi-year contract extension with Mercedes. He's typically, in recent years, I feel like, been a one-year guy, right? He just gets a big bag for one season and kept going.
I think lately it's been two. He's been rolling two-year contracts, basically.
Well, he wants a multi-year extension now. How long is Lewis Hamilton going to race, do you think? How many more years?
I think he really wants that eighth title.
That's
man.
What I feel like, too. I feel like he wants the eighth, and he would step away on top, because he didn't want to step away after last year the way it ended, I feel like.
I agree.
Now he
would suck to walk away.
After. Yeah, and now I feel like he can't step away where he's, for the first year, it looks like not going to win a race. So he wants that eighth to be alone at the top with the most drivers' championships, and then he will retire. But he might end up just chasing it. That's what happens with some of these
older guys,
right? Like Tom Brady's out there getting divorced, losing a bunch of games.
That's right. Breaking news, by the way. Tom Brady and Giselle filed for divorce today.
Yes, breaking news.
We're just a gossip podcast.
Yeah,
now.
we're TMZ.
Yeah, so I think what's going on is, plus, I think the longer Alonso stays at F1 and continues to be impressive in his early 40s, that's just going to galvanize Lewis to keep getting after it.
True,
to get number eight.
Alonso's older than Hamilton, so as long as Alonso's there, you can't say, Hamilton, it's time to hang him up. He could just point to Alonso and be like, hey, there's the gray beard up there, you know?
Right, but we have touched on this before. Okay, we did this earlier this year when Hamilton crossed the 300 Grand Prix mark. It's a cursed number. No one has ever won a race once they've eclipsed the 300th Grand Prix in their career.
Yeah.
And Schumacher passed it. Fucking Rubens Barrichello.
Yeah, now, Hamilton, Alonso are going to try to buck that historical trend.
Alonso just hit 350 in Singapore, right?
Yeah, I believe it was Singapore.
Yeah, so, you know, there are certain forces in effect here with Lewis. Will he win another race? Will he win another title? Like, it really depends on Mercedes.
History is not on their side, but yeah, you can't count out the machine that is Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's not, the question isn't if Hamilton can deliver another win. I think it's the team. Hamilton looks great lately. He looks fantastic.
Hamilton and Russell are getting the maximum out of that Benz this year.
Well, ever since Canada, Hamilton has slowly but surely taken control of the duel between him and George again. I mean, he's been on it.
Yeah, and Mercedes and Ferrari have to have their hopes buoyed by the latest news regarding Red Bull's cost cap breach penalty.
Yes. This is a big news sting right
here. Penalties are like, actually, because it's a lot of stuff. So Red Bull is penalized for their $1.8 million overspend past the cost cap last season. What did they get dinged with? Because it's big stuff.
All right, so it's pretty interesting the way this has played out. For starters, they went $1.8 million over the cost cap last year, okay? But the FIA did admit that if a tax credit had been applied correctly, which is a little wrinkle in all this, they would have only gone like 300K over or something like that. So who knows?
The tax man always gets his
chunk. Yeah, to me that doesn't mean anything, really. They went over by $1.8 million. We'll just call it that. They're going to get a $7 million fine.
Which is huge.
Yes. It's not a small chunk of change. $7 million is money. That's real money. And also a 10% reduction in car development for next season, meaning wind tunnel, etc. So this is where it gets interesting, okay?
That's a huge hit. People don't realize how much that stuff matters. Like, I think the estimates, you know, you can never be exact, but the estimates for that reduction in wind tunnel and development time is like almost half a second on the high end, the estimate.
It depends.
But it can be a huge hit.
It is a big deal when you consider the way the wind tunnel time is structured now is the best teams at the end of the season, the teams that are first, second, third, etc., and the constructors, they get way less time.
Right. You're already getting less by winning or finishing high.
So Williams, who's dead last this year, they're going to get like 110%.
I'm eager to see
of the wind tunnel time.
I'm eager to see if they can generate more parity with those tiered wind tunnel time allotments based on finish, because but the teams still have to not fuck it up, because if Williams is still, you know, lumbering at the back when they get all these benefits of finishing dead fucking last, shame on them for an awful development plan and team.
You will see jumps. Right? So like,
yeah, the midfield at a minimum should be spicier.
It only lasts for so long though. So like Williams might be strong for the first quarter of the year next year because of the extra wind tunnel time. But in-season development is still king over the course of a season. Like, if you want to be one of those teams fighting for a top four position in the constructors, you've got to be able to bring the development throughout the year. So a Williams or a Haas. Haas was pretty hot at the beginning of the year, if you remember.
Alfa Romeo, too.
And then they faded like crazy. So you can get that pop in the beginning of the year with this extra time, but it's hard to sustain without spending cash.
Right.
All right, so this is what's important. They got an additional 10% reduction in car development for next season. Because Red Bull won the Constructors this year, they were only going to get 70% of the allotted time anyways. The next closest team, whoever gets second this year, Mercedes or Ferrari, will get 75%. Now with this 10% reduction on top, they're all the way down to 63% from 70.
Yeah.
So that's wild now. You have the second place team this year.
It's just a little bit over half the development time that Williams gets, you know?
Yes. So now you're going to have whoever gets second, most likely Ferrari, but Mercedes could steal it from them. They will have 75% of the time for the wind tunnel, and Red Bull's only going to get 63 now. So it's a 12% gap.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's huge. We'll have to wait and see how it looks on track.
Do you want my take on all this? I don't care about the overspending or anything. I think this is great for F1 because Red Bull is fucking dominant right now with Max.
Yeah, we don't want this era to just be Red Bull running wild with it the way Mercedes did the last era. They brought in these, I don't want to call them penalties, but they brought in these sort of reductions for the better finishing teams to try to generate more parity throughout the field. So
yes,
this is only going to speed that up, hopefully.
I think this is a good thing. This penalty is a good thing. Who gives a shit about the cash fine? This reduction in wind tunnel time should hopefully bring the field closer together.
Is the cash fine going to be like a write-off? You know, if you could write off on your taxes, maybe they could write off that $7 million and get $7 million more for the cost cap next year, right? They'll probably try and find a way to do some creative accounting that way.
Probably not. But hey, you know what? Red Bull is probably laughing because worth it. $7 million fine, worth it.
Yeah, so the other team that was dinged, I didn't realize this, but I guess Williams had been dinged earlier in like June or July and got a small fine.
Yeah, they just filed late.
Yeah.
Like a bunch
of
dates.
Really? It was just a delay, a late filing penalty, and now we're counting on this team to maximize their 100%.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, the whole concept of the cost cap is to bring spending down. So even a team like Williams, who can't overspend if they wanted to, they filed late.
Well, they need to spend more on accountants, it sounds like, because they can't even fucking file.
It's just funny.
But Aston Martin was the other team of note here that went over the amount, didn't just file late. And Ryan, the details of what they were dinged for with going over sheds a lot of light into what they're actually tracking. And it's way more than we thought originally.
Yeah.
So Aston Martin was only fined $450,000, no other penalties on top of it because it was a much smaller overage. I think the Red Bull one was just more egregious and they had to be much, much harsher because it's way harsher to have $7 million in fines and a 10% reduction in development, which is what Red Bull got, Aston just getting $450,000 as a fine. But listen to all these things. Some of these are hysterical of what led to them going over. So Aston Martin apparently incorrectly excluded and or adjusted costs pertaining to the building of their new headquarters. Okay, that sounds like it would be expected.
We talked about this. We were saying they're front-loading everything for these new facilities.
Right. Their new F1 simulator, wind tunnel fees, a research and development tax credit, a signing bonus cost. That was probably for all those engineers they were bringing over and giving big bags of money, right?
Yep.
The use of transferable components, their used inventories, service desk costs, so their IT guys or something, I guess. Yeah, here are the funny ones. So who knew this stuff, Ryan, goes to the cost cap? Their cost of catering services at the team headquarters, the cost of desks and chairs. They need to go shopping at IKEA or something because they're probably getting some fancy shit for Larry Stroll and the boys. Sponsor services and outsourced personnel services. But how funny that...
This sounds worse than Red Bull.
It's nothing to do with the car. Cost of catering services and desks and chairs.
So apparently Red Bull's overspending was in two categories, one of them also being catering. I think that's where the tax credit comes in. As a company supposed to get a tax credit
expense for operation. Yeah,
yeah. It is a big chunk of change because, you know, most of these teams, they provide free meals all day, every day for people working at the HQ.
Well, also think about at the races, right? Whenever you see Ted Kravitz or anyone walking through you know, the area with the team buildings. Those are just loaded with espresso machines and nibbles and champagne, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it seems like Aston Martin was more nefarious in hiding where they were overspending rather than Red Bull here.
Yeah, because the term is they either incorrectly excluded or adjusted these costs. So they probably didn't even realize, like, wait, we have to actually put in our desks and chairs that we just got?
Yeah, this sounds, the Aston Martin situation sounds way more like aggressive accounting fuckery to me than the Red Bull.
Because it's all these extra things, aside from the headquarter and the simulator and the wind tunnel fees. Right?
Plus, Moot, everything you just listed reminds me why I could never be an accountant. If I had to fucking comb through all this shit, I would lose my mind. Signing bonus costs.
It's brutal. Accounting is not fun.
Used inventory, service desk costs, cost of catering services, cost of desk and chair sponsored. This is just, oh yeah, this would put most people to sleep.
I want Aston Martin to make a post and show us a picture of those desks and chairs because they ended up costing them $450,000 with that fine. So I want to see how nice these desks and chairs are.
Man, Larry.
You know McLaren is staying under because they're not buying new iPads for Zach Brown. He still has that same greasy iPad screen.
Yeah. They know where to spend and not to spend.
Let's head to Mexico.
What do you think Zach Brown's career is like?
Oh, I mean, that guy can go through some catering, I'd bet. Snack Brown.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ragai, we need the listeners to hit us up if there are any listeners at this race. I know we have had listeners attend in recent seasons. Obviously, they didn't race in Mexico during 2020. But if anyone's at the race, reach out to us. Send us some content. We love to see that. Ragai, why don't you give us the weather report? Step up to your green screen here.
All right. We will have breezy and perfect temps, roughly mid-70s all weekend.
Yeah, mid-70s Fahrenheit. The breeze is gustier on Sunday for the race. It's going to amp up a little bit on Sunday as of today's weather report.
Drivers had issues with the breeze last year, right?
Yeah, because I think you can get some cross breezes. Obviously, that stadium section might create some funnels, some blasts of air through the stadium and all that.
Yeah, I don't know how often it rains in Mexico City. I'm assuming not that often.
Friday was 100% cloud cover and like 20% chance of rain, but we only care about Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, Friday, if you wash out the track, it's helpful because the guys get less data. You get a greener track, right? But
right.
Yeah, I don't expect any actual rain. Just some perfect temps for Dia de los Muertos.
I mean, hold on. I'm seeing up to 30, 40% chance today. Tomorrow, up to 50% chance between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Maybe Sunday?
We'll get some rain. Rain would be sad because it'll wash off all the Sugar Skull face paint that
there
everyone
is
will be wearing.
Slight risk of rain if Google weather is to be believed.
Let's talk previous winners at this track. So there was a long gap where they didn't have a Mexican Grand Prix, but then it came back in 2015. Nico Rosberg won in 2015.
Yep.
Lewis Hamilton has won two Mexican Grand Prix since they began racing again in 2015. But Max Verstappen has won three in three of the last four.
Yeah. So since this track has returned to the calendar in 2015, Mercedes versus Red Bull is tied 3-3. All because of Max, the one-man band.
Yeah, this has often been a very good track for Red Bull. Remember the one year Max was very close to getting pole and Danny Ric stole it from him?
Yes.
And then Ric had issues, I think, in the race.
Engine
Yeah,
blew
because
up
that was
again.
When he had the Renault problems. That Renault power would let him down. But, yeah, pretty impressive that Max has won three out of the last four and has won three himself.
Yeah, something about this track, it's just good for Red Bull. It's also at altitude, which has always favored the Honda engines for some reason over the Mercedes.
Yeah, this is the highest elevation race on the Formula One calendar, 2,200 meters above sea level. So it makes cooling your engine components and the car components more challenging because of that thinner air. So
also downforce is less effective because of the thinner air.
A lot of technical curiosities when you get up in that thinner air, so that's always fun to watch for. The top manufacturer here, Ragai, historically Honda has five race wins in the Mexican Grand Prix.
Yep.
Only one since they were the Red Bull power unit, so pretty interesting that it's a lot of historical Honda wins here. But this year, if Red Bull wins, we'll call it a Honda win, even though it's a Red Bull Power Unit.
Yeah.
It's, come on. That's the biggest tomfoolery, that they just white labeled the Honda Power Unit and call it Red Bull Powertrains.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, Honda fumbled that big time, man.
Yeah.
Again, they left at the top.
Well, they do have the branding back on the car now, as of Japan.
Yep.
So, Raga, the other good news, this Grand Prix has been extended until 2025, so we get to still have this Halloween fun in Mexico City going,
I love it,
forward. Yeah. And some of the most fun stuff, the unofficial mascot, I guess, is the creepy, huge guy wearing, like, the mariachi coat with the big skeleton face and hands.
The sugar skull guy.
Yeah,
right?
And he's everywhere. He's taking pictures with, like, every driver, making drivers do skits and bits with him. I saw him making guacamole with Joe Guan Yu Zhou and Valtteri Bottas.
That's really funny.
So that guy's everywhere. And people may recall, a handful of years ago, even the marshals had the sugar skull face paint.
Yeah.
It was hysterical to see this serious marshal on the catch fence with a sugar skull face painting.
Look, man, it works from a marketing standpoint. It makes me want to go to Mexico during the month of October. It looks like a fun Halloween party all month.
Yeah, and I know Mexico City is always up there as a great destination city, great street food, great,
it's
everything, right?
Also huge.
Yeah, it's
tons.
It's one
do.
Of the most populated cities in the world, right?
It's wild. It's a massive, massive city.
Yeah, but I think the crown jewel of this track is that stadium section in the party podium that takes place right in the middle of the massive stadium.
With the hydraulic elevator for the car and driver to come up.
They typically elevate the winning car up on the front of the podium. They have a DJ set up right there, and they have the built-in stadium, so you don't have as much of a need for people to pour onto the track, because people who are sitting or in general admission in other areas will obviously go to the track, but a lot of people, if you're in that stadium, you've already got a front row stadium seat for all the party podium and the after festivities.
Yep.
And historically, this has been a place where Hamilton clinched a lot of his titles, and those were epic scenes.
Yeah. Well, everything's already clinched, so it could just be a straight-up party atmosphere. No tension.
Yeah, the biggest party would be if Checo Perez can win his home race. That would just be bonkers.
I just don't see it happening because I just don't see Max laying down. I don't know if you saw his quotes this week.
No.
He said he got asked the question, as he always does, probably by an English journalist, about, will you let Checo win? Like, if Checo has the pace, no. Will you let him win? And Max was like, if he has the pace, he's strong enough to win on his own.
So right.
He can go get the win
in Formula One.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's Valtteri Bottas and you're getting team orders.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Max likes winning too.
Right.
I don't think he's
chasing
records.
Yeah, he's chasing records as well. And you mentioned that the hardware and the drivers and the constructors are locked up, but let's update the listeners and Formula One fans on what fights to watch that are still being battled out on track. The fight for second in the drivers, Ragai. Charles Leclerc jumped Checo Perez with the resulting coda. Leclerc now with 267 points, two ahead of Checo, who has 265. So that fight for second is very hot right now. You've got three guys realistically battling for third. George Russell, 218 points. Carlos Sainz, 202. If he can actually finish a race, he's falling out of that fight.
Yeah.
And Lewis Hamilton with 198. So Lewis Hamilton, 20 behind his teammate George Russell for third. Then the nonstop Danny Ricciardo fight against the car, against his career. And now two more drivers have entered the fight with him from backmarker teams for 12th in the drivers. So Ricciardo has 29 points in 12th place. Kevin Magnussen has 26. Pierre Gasly has 23. So you could see those two guys jump Danny Ric here at the end.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Ricciardo has yet again another terrible weekend, because this track should not suit the McLaren at all. So you have that. Secondly, he has no confidence right now. His interview after COTA was wild. He was basically like on the verge of tears, and he said something along the lines of, you know, you just keep telling yourself it can't keep getting worse, but it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, he's completely deflated and defeated. But Ragai, let's talk a little more, some more interesting things listeners noticed, we were talking about Danny Ricciardo claiming he has a reserve driver role for next season. Everyone's saying Red Bull. But then there was a picture of Toto Wolff in a Danny Ricciardo brand sweatshirt.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of smoke and mirrors going on with Ricciardo's potential role next year.
Did you mention the Mercedes versus Ferrari battle that everyone needs to watch here at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean,
I think Mercedes is going to steal it.
Yeah, because Carlos Sainz just DNFs all the time on the first lap. So yeah, it's not as close. I would bring it up if it gets a little tighter, but yeah, that's one to watch for sure.
I'm going to laugh so hard if Mercedes just literally steals it from them at the end here.
I'm very intrigued, Ryguy, by the battle for the best of the rest. After Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes, you have Alpine and McLaren just duking it out for fourth. Alpine with 144 points, McLaren with 138. So that's nice and tight. But Danny Ric doing McLaren no favors, as we've mentioned.
I think Alpine can rest easy. They do blow their engines a lot, but I think Alpine will win that battle.
The battle for sixth, Ryan. Alfa Romeo with 52, Aston Martin with 51. Aston Martin has been piling up points in recent races, so they're only one behind Alfa Romeo now, who disappeared since the first half of the season.
They should absolutely pass Alfa Romeo. That team is in a death spiral.
Yeah. Battle for eighth, because 10th is Williams. They have that locked up. Battle for eighth, Ryguy. Haas with 38, AlphaTauri with 36. AlphaTauri sitting in ninth, which is not where they typically are, so that's a fun one to watch too.
Absolutely. That's one to watch, because typically, none of those four drivers ever grab a huge amount of points at once. It's just these little scalps. One, two, three, 4 points.
And having one more place up that final points-paying positions is huge in those battles. Like Magnussen fighting Vettel for eighth at the end, finishes ninth. But if they can do any better than 10th, that's a huge haul for those teams.
Yeah. I'd like to see Yuki and Pierre get it done and win that battle for eighth.
Yeah, why don't we get into your bold predictions?
I've kind of soured on Haas lately. I don't like the team dynamic there with Gunther just constantly shitting on Mick.
He's blame-throwing Schumacher every weekend, yeah.
It's a poisonous atmosphere over there.
Mick obviously pissed in his Kellogg's or something, or slammed his office door, because Gunther definitely has both barrels pointed at Mick Schumacher after every race weekend.
Yeah, it's weird how he will go out to the media after a race and be like, look at how well Kevin Magnussen did points this weekend. Why can't Mick do that? Like,
yeah, he's just demolishing Mick.
All about publicly shaming drivers. It's a wild approach to management.
Yeah. Let's get your bold predictions here, Ryguy.
All right. So I got a triple-headed monster here, Moon.
Three-headed monster.
Triple-headed monster here. I think we can expect the teams that have the more slippery cars as far as drag do well here. So obviously Red Bull is going to do well. But there's a team towards the back who always has a fighting chance at these power tracks that have pretty long straights where they can make use of their low drag. And that's Williams. If you remember correctly, Monza, De Vries got points.
Albon has been racing so well in that Williams this year,
too. That's what I'm saying. So now I have to caveat this, okay? Albon has still only used three engines this season. Three ICEs, okay? He could get boned with an engine penalty this weekend. I hope not. It shouldn't matter that much, because he starts towards the back of the grid anyways.
All it would do is make your prediction more bold.
Yes. My prediction, first one, is Alex Albon will score points here. That car is slippery. He's fucking slippery.
It's very bold. I like it.
He's going to put that ugly Williams with barely any paint on it anymore into the points this weekend.
In the Duracell battery all over it.
Yes. Second bold prediction, another team with a slippery car, low drag beast, Alpine. I expect one of the Alpine drivers to finish top five this weekend.
Yeah, we've had to adjust our trying to wish an Alpine podium into existence with our bold predictions, and now it's become an Alpine top five.
Yeah, I won't go as bold as an Alpine podium, which I totally think it could happen this weekend, but I'm going to say one of the Alpine boys, top five finish.
They've been qualifying well for the most part. Ocon has struggled a little lately in qualifying. Alonso is still qualifying very well, but they just can't seem to put it together for a full Sunday is their issue. Like,
yeah,
they might qualify really well. Remember Alonso qualified in the front row in one race, and then they just hold position or race backwards usually.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but both of them are aggressive on Sundays. They're constantly finding contact with other cars. Alonso got hit by Lance in COTA. Alonso and Hamilton had that mix-up in Spa. Ocon has had his share of first lap incidents hitting people. It's just something that they're really aggressive on lap one.
Yeah.
Maybe because they have to be, because their race pace isn't all that. But yeah, anyways.
Those guys are aggressive drivers too.
Yes.
At Alpine.
Absolutely. So I think Alpine will get a guy in the top five. Last but not least, not so bold right here, but I think Max breaks the single season win record this weekend. I think he gets his 14th win. He stands alone at the top of the mountain after this weekend.
Yeah, I would say it's bold when you look at the fact that we were talking about this already, like before summer break, that Max has a can make a run at the single season race win record.
Mm-hmm.
So this is paying off that bold prediction from earlier in the year that we were making on that.
And we were kind of all over the fact that Singapore would be the biggest hurdle for him, and it was. He didn't win. That was going to be the most challenging one.
So I'm going to go against that bold prediction of yours. I think Max does not set that record because I want to wish into existence that Checo Perez wins his home Grand Prix and has an absolutely nuts stadium section, party podium, and Dia de los Muertos celebration in all of Mexico.
That would be wild. I'm not going to root against that. That would be a mad scene if Checo wins this bad boy.
My other bold prediction piggybacks off what we talked about earlier, this being the highest elevation circuit on the Formula One calendar. I think the lack of reliability we've seen with a lot of the Ferrari power units, some of the other teams and cars like Alpine having some issues. Give me five plus retirements.
Five or more retirements.
So 15 or less cars will be classified in this race.
I think that's a strong prediction because a lot, like we're in the engine penalty season right now. And
some of these engines, if they aren't being replaced, that means they've got some miles on them.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Guys have been replacing their engines 2, 3, 4 races ago now. So any of those guys who took their engine penalties with a new engine in Monza, this is the perfect weekend for them to go pop.
Yeah. And for any of the gamblers out there, I will definitely be betting the aggressive plus money total cards to DNF or total cards to be classified on the low end, right? That I'll do under 16, maybe a flyer on under 15. You know, I think this is a good time with this elevation to go after those props and get some plus money.
Also, do not forget, turn one on lap one at this circuit is carnage.
Yeah.
It gets so tight.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I could see five plus retirements just because of the thin air leading to overheating and failures, let alone having some actual incidents on track knocking guys out, right?
Yeah, I mean, the weather is kind of on the side of reliability this weekend with these temps. It's a little bit cooler than usual.
It's all about the air, though, baby. That thin air. Yep.
Very true.
Right, guy, this is a fantastic hashtag Formula Brunch location. Easy for all of us to take part here in North America. Breakfast, right, guy, brunch-wise, hashtag Formula Brunch-wise, Huevos Rancheros, one of my favorite brunch and breakfast dishes. Berea tacos are just fantastic, unbelievable. You can try and make all this stuff, or obviously it's easy to find Mexican food in most cities around the world at this point.
Yes.
Great brewskis from Mexico, Ryan. Pacifico is a classic.
Pacifico is one of my faves.
Modelo, especially the Modelo Negra. Now that it's a little bit cooler, that Negra is great in the cooler temps. You can make Mexican ashtrays, as we've talked about in the past, right? Squeeze that lime on the rim. Put the chili lime seasoning all over it. Get the hot sauce drizzled on the top. Then pop the can lid. I'll pour in. Let it pile up on your lips. It's a fantastic little treat.
Yeah. For the uninitiated, Mexican ashtray beers are phenomenal. I will be posting several of them on our feed this
We're
going
to be putting those up. So make sure to tag us in any of your hashtag Formula Brunch posts. We'll repost those and look forward to seeing what you guys are getting into. And if any of you all are really trying to get into the spirit, get some Sugar Skull face paint on when you send those four hashtag Formula Brunch pics.
Yeah, Halloween's Monday.
It's true.
Get after it, people.
Yeah, get your costumes on. If not, go all the way for a Sugar Skull as well.
Are you ready for a hot take here, Moot? A caliente take, if
Please.
You will.
Muy caliente take.
I am of the opinion that, like, if the whole world had to just pick a cuisine for everyone to eat moving forward globally, it would be Mexican food.
Tacos specifically?
Just
tacos are great.
Mexican food across the board, because A, it's fairly easy to make good Mexican, and B, it's like cheap, easy access ingredients.
Yeah, tortillas, corn, beans, meat, cheese.
It is the greatest cultural corner of the world for food, in my opinion, is Mexican food.
They maximize those simple ingredients for sure.
Yes, and they
and
do.
And it's often spicy. We like our spicy food.
Yes, and they are good at all three phases, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mexican food is bomb.
Yeah, let's talk about hashtag Formula Brunch this weekend, people.
Let's talk about.
Yeah. Also, go check our story at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram and make sure to set your fantasy lineups for this race and help us set the fan-driven fantasy lineup for this race, where you guys vote on our at Purple Sector Pod Instagram stories to set that fan-driven lineup. And that reminds me, guys, here's how to help out the show. I forgot to do this on the end. Thanks for tuning in to Purple Sector. Remember to reach out to the show by pitting in the mail, box, box, box.
Instructions to box.
You can leave a voicemail or shoot a text to 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. You can also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to follow both those accounts as well.
Follow me on Instagram.
You can also get additional content on our YouTube by subscribing to Purple Sector F1 Podcast. Finally, be sure to subscribe to Purple Sector wherever you get your podcasts. Review the show and throw us 5 stars at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. See you all on the track. Oh, yes. Get pumped for this race, Rye Guy.
I am pumped.
I'm beyond pumped.
I need to go buy my Modelo, my Pacifico, my ingredients for a Mexican ashtray.
Oh, yes. I'm excited. It's going to be a good one. Will Max set the race win record? Will Checo win his home Grand Prix? How many of you will have epic hashtag Formula Brunches and let us see those pictures of your Mexican ashtrays and beyond?
Yes, it's going to be a great F1 weekend.
Get your Sugar Skull face paint on and get pumped for the Mexico City Grand Prix. Thanks for joining Purple Sector. I'm so pumped for this, Rye Guy.
Sam.
See y'all on the track.
Purple Sector.
Oh, it's purple.
Purple.
Three purple sectors.
Three purple sectors.
Yeah, the car is terrible to drive. Very difficult.
I want to change things. I want to stop Mercedes dominating.
Honestly, what are we doing? Racing or pink block?
Okay, Lewis, close that gap as much as you can. It's hammer time.
It's not getting the full flex.
How did you call that last lap incident? Brainless.
Daniel, a hard-fought fourth place in the end for you.
Hard-fought? Not really. I thought that was boring.
So I think we can call Max Verstappen the baby-faced assassin.
I think we clench our butt cheeks and hope we stay there to the end, Martin.
I'm driving like a grandma.
What the f***?
Looks like my wife's driving that car.
Yeah, tell the safety car to slow down.
He's stroking that Ferrari.
I know I'm losing time to Vettel, but I really don't care.
They are racing.
So it's happy hour, basically.
People just simply don't have the balls to stick to what they say.
Mamma mia, what the hell is going on?
A firm boundary position, stay as they are. We'll talk about it after the race.
We are here to race and not to just hang out, so...